Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break podcast, part of the Hoopheads podcast network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, Game Source, the guys at LakersBall.com. During the regular season, be part of the great conversations that are had during game time at LakersBall.com. Plus, also as well, check out the great topics that they always have going on there at LakersBall.com. Plus, also as well, our good friends at LakerHolics.com. Read the great articles Laker Tom and Jamie Sweet have right now for you at LakerHolics.com. Be part of the conversation there as well. And our good friends of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And if you could support all of that, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, the Lakers right now are kind of in a state of flux, trying to figure out what to do as far as roster changes, trying to figure out what they're going to do for a coach with the continual rumors of coaches not being interested after what they did, and they did dirty to Frank Vogel. Which we here on the show agree that they did Frank Vogel dirty. It's not necessarily getting rid of him per se or letting him go, but the way they handled it, a lot of these coaches have a bad taste in their mouths when it comes to the Lakers. So the Lakers may not be the desirable location for any of these coaches once the coaching carousel begins. And here today to talk about that, Winning Time Episode 7, an NBA playoffs update, and more. It's a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out his latest article today at LakerHolics.com. It is Laker Tom. I know, Laker Tom, we were arguing before we went on the show about Episode 7 of Winning Time, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, the important thing is the Laker coaching and also the trade rumors that are bound for Russ and AD, which are getting a little bit louder and a little bit louder. Didn't say they were as loud as Russ yet, but getting a little bit louder. Your thoughts first on the coaching situation. I'm not exactly saddened to hear that Doc Rivers was now rumored to not be interested in the Lakers position. I think you and I and Joe are not exactly brokenhearted over it, but the fact that it leaves a bad taste in his mouth, the way they handled Frank Vogel and the situation upon him leaving, it sets a dangerous tone for everyone out there that might be up for this Lakers job. Not Doc Rivers per se, but anybody else that might be interested in it.
I don't know if I agree with that. First off, I do think that the Lakers mishandled the situation with Frank, and he deserved a lot better than that. But it's sort of a continuation of the same pattern we've seen as the season has gone along, as that the front office and the coaching staff have slowly separated. You know, they're no longer on the same page. In fact, they've become almost very adversarial in the last part of it. So it doesn't surprise me that this happens. I also don't think that that's going to keep any coach who wants to coach the Lakers from taking the job.
But that's the issue.
It'll be used by some people who don't want to take the job. But if you want to coach the Lakers, if you want to coach the Celtics, if you want to coach the Bulls, if you've got a specific team that you want to coach, because of the franchise, the history of it, the willingness to spend money, the stars they have or whatever. You're not going to let anything like that bother you. I mean, at the worst, I think it's going to make coaches address some of these issues when they're talking to the Lakers about the job, which is that, you know, I want to decide my own assistant coaches. I don't want to be given assistant coaches. I don't want to have Kurt Rambis and front office people coming down other than in scheduled times and practices. You know, I think those are things that most respected NBA coaches across the league generally want. And I think that for a team like the Lakers, it's something that if we're talking about any of the good quality coaches, they're going to demand that. Frank Vogel wasn't in a strong position, and Ty Lue has shown that he made the right decision. He got more money, a lot more money from the Clippers in a longer deal. So, you know, I'm not discouraged by the comments. I think that it's
cost him a title, though.
Always tough for the Lakers because of the network that they use to fill every vacancy. You know, the fact that they won't go out and just look at everybody. Now, they're putting on the same talk that they put on every time they have a vacancy, which is about how we're going to comb through the hills and we're going to interview broadly and we're going to look at odd, we're going to think outside the box. But they're going to end up coming back and bringing in probably an experienced coach. I'd love for them to give Rondo a shot. I was answering a question about how well the Warriors play and so forth to somebody on the blog. And I had to admit that the Warriors, frankly, run the front office and run the coaching staff the way that I'd like to play. I like the way that they play. I like the strategy they use. And I like the ownership's approach to putting together teams. I've lost two granddaughters and a son who were Laker fans just because of the way the Warriors play. And it's hard being a Laker fan, especially during the Warriors period in Northern California. So, you know, I respect all of those things. And I think that the Lakers are going to have difficulty getting, there are going to be some coaches who are going to eliminate the Lakers just because of the dysfunction of the front office, the family orientation of running the business. But it's a good enough job, and there's enough, it's a big enough job and high enough profile job that I think we have a good shot at getting somebody good. You know, we'll just all depend upon how the kitchen cabinet that Jeannie's put together makes the decisions. You know,
you're not going to disown any of your kids, though, are you?
No, I didn't disown them, but it's disappointing. You know, I've only saved my son, my grandson Nick. Thank God he's a Laker fan.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
But it's frustrating. It is frustrating. You know,
that's, I mean, unacceptable.
Why couldn't I go up against the Pistons or the?
No chance.
You know, there's some of these teams like this. Why does it have to be a team that comes along and wins 3 out of 4 championships, sets a new record for everything, plays the game exactly the way that I coach it and tell everybody it should be played? It's a hard pill to take.
It's not that hard to understand that, because you have to also understand the clientele they have on the Golden State Warriors, and it starts with the main guy.
By the way, it's Joe Sorrell from LakersBall.com.
Como estás? Thank you very much.
I've got to let you talk more than 2 sentences, so petting my cat doesn't get.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. You got to let him do his thing. So I think we get enamored with the organization a lot in the NBA, when in fact, in the NBA, it's going to come down to the stars deciding how they want the organization to look. So you have Steph Curry, you have Klay Thompson, and you have Draymond Green, the pillars of that franchise over the last, you can say, 12 years, 9 years, however long that those three have been there. And they're all unselfish. They are all team players. They are all giving. They are all no drama. Now, Draymond, in terms of drama on the court, messing with people, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about organizationally, he's not drama. So when you have that, it's a lot easier for a general manager, a coach, an assistant coach, fan base, an owner to do their thing, similar to the San Antonio Spurs all these years, and have this setup that we all love. But the thing is, the Lakers don't really have those type of players. We have egotistical maniacs. Some of it is a compliment because that's what makes LeBron great. It's what made Kobe great. It's what made Shaq great. So it's one of those things where there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? Gee, you know, you're talking about the cats. So we win ugly. We win pretty. We win with power. We win with finesse. We've had a history of that, right? We've always won in different ways. Golden State, San Antonio, they win one way. They win, oh, we're all a team, and let's do it together and all that. And what's the excitement in that if you're an observer, right? Because to me, looking at it as a Laker fan, this whole thing with the management sticking their nose in, I mean, they've been showing this, haven't they, on Winning Time, where, and this is back in the 80s, before we heard about how Phil Jackson kicked out Jerry West in real life. I don't know if they actually kicked Jerry West out or Jack kicked Jerry out in practice. I don't know that. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is. But we do know that Phil kicked Jerry out when he was coaching the Lakers in the early 2000s, and that essentially created the departure. So I think we romanticize this whole, we want to do the things the right way. And you know, I sometimes fall into that line as well. But the reality is, this is the LA Lakers, okay? The Golden State Warriors, I know their value has gone up, and I know that they've won three of the last whatever championships, but they don't hold a candle to the LA Laker brand. The LA Laker brand is only second to probably one of the premier soccer teams in the world.
Man United?
Man United. That's about it. Or Real Madrid could be another one. So if you want to talk about pressure there, pressure and goal, I mean, Golden State had fans coming out for years. I watched those games, and they were very exciting games. The Antoine Jameson game with Kobe, and you know, all those years that they would play in Golden State. The Golden State fan base is very loyal. Lose, win, draw, doesn't matter. So it's easy for them. And then, of course, San Antonio. There's no other sport in San Antonio. They became the epicenter of sports for them in that town. The LA Lakers is a completely
different beast. Don't remind me of that.
You know, the sad part about that is if Kobe and Shaq could have just gotten along, Tim Duncan might have only ended up with a couple titles. But, you know, that's another story for another day. But I think you make a good point, Tom, but I'm trying to maybe bring the homer side of this with some validity. The bottom line is you cannot compare any team, not even Boston. Boston's won one championship in the last, 36 years? It's different now. It's just different. And even Boston, in many ways, especially with the way that the dynasty of the Patriots and then the Bruins, and then you have the Red Sox. So they have a little bit more, you know, options there. Where in LA for the longest time, there wasn't a football team. We have the Dodgers, but they were terrible until the Guggenheims bought the team. And Lakers, they're the show. And every little tiny thing is going to be scrutinized into something huge. And we fall for it, and we comment about it, and we start absorbing it and getting tranced into it. And here we are, still talking about management coming down and bothering people after 40 years.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, it is something that we continually have to go ahead and see. I mean, there may be a different perception than both you, Tom, and myself have about the Lakers that the rest of the league has, you know, as far as it's concerned, because the way that they treated Frank Vogel. You know, this coaching community that's there, it's a very tight-knit community, but all, like Laker Tom says, all it takes is one aspiring coach, could be someone very promising, you know, like Boston with an Ime Udoka. They didn't get a big name coach. They got a hot assistant to come over, and that's how they got their job done. With the Lakers, they may have to resort to that. They may not be able to get the big name out there in coaching free agency. They may have to go ahead and rely on a Darvin Ham, that throw his name out there. He's been out there for years as an assistant coach for Milwaukee. Or, like you said, a Rajon Rondo that's out there.
Or
Phil Handy.
There needs to be, if you look at the track record of the up-and-coming coach, if the team respects that coach, i.e. Udoka.
Because they did right away. They just it really started to click after the you know what, the first half, the first of the year, it really started to click in as far as on the defensive end, but it also took a lot of inner turmoil to happen in Boston before right. they got everything worked out.
And sometimes that happens. The issue is you have to be professionals. There's a scene in Winning Time where, you know, Pat's talking to Westhead about being, you know, these are men, these aren't college kids, so just talk to them, right? I think that's a very good point. And as far as the coaches sticking up for their fellow colleagues, I remember when, God, I've drawn a blank on the coach that LeBron fired. What was his name?
Oh, the one where they were leading the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, he got Russian fired. Coach. Yeah, the Russian coach. I completely drew a blank. But I remember Stan Van Gundy was livid. And Stan Van Gundy
He gets livid at every coach that gets
true,
fired.
True, but he's, he, you know, he did make a point. I mean, this is how we're just fodder. We're just, you don't like what one coach does, you know, even though you're leading the conference and you just fire him. So there's it's a players
David
league.
David Blatt.
It's a players league, and it's become a players league even more because of LeBron. And he's kind of started the whole, you know, I'm more of a brand than loyal to a team. And that's
which
that's,
is probably why they didn't hire Tyronn Lue.
No, they didn't hire Tyronn Lue because Tyronn Lue said, I don't want to play for the amount of money you were giving me.
Well, no, but I think they could have offered him the right amount of money.
Assistance.
He I think that they made it assistance. Hard. I think they made him turn it down.
Well, you guys and have here, to look at this.
Well, they, have, wait, here's an important point that I think is going to be a critical criteria for the next Lakers coach. And there's been numerous, just listening to the various quotes from Vogel or the quotes from Pelinka on what they're looking for in a coach. I get a feeling that they feel that Frank was soft, that Frank didn't demand that people do things, that Frank,
I agree,
rather than raising his voice and chewing somebody out, would just make the change, you know, you're not going to play, and so forth, and explain to him in very reasonable terms, you know, very unemotional terms that, you know, this is what I've got to do for the best of the team. There's a lot of different styles of coaching, and every single coaches that treat everybody the same don't last in the NBA any longer because it's a players league, like Gerald says. So the key thing, though, is that I get a feeling that Vogel didn't call AD and LeBron to task at the same level that he did other players, that he didn't hold them as responsible. And that as a general result, the entire team didn't hold themselves accountable for bad plays. And I think that they're looking for a coach, and it's interesting. I'd like to hear what you both think of applying that principle to the various coaches who are in the carousel. Who do you think is the best coach for the standpoint of getting, let's say this, Joe's brought up the point of leadership on the team several times, and that's a very valid point for the simple reason that if your two best players don't hustle their butts off, how the hell can you expect the rest of the team to do the same? And there are a lot of times this season when LeBron James and Anthony Davis weren't putting out their best effort. So you need a coach who they respect, but you also need a coach who's going to call them out and going to hold them accountable, because that's the only way you ever get a team to play together, is you have to have your leaders be the leaders on the floor too. You can't take plays off. You can't not rotate. You can't do that type of stuff. And you need a coach, and the Lakers need a coach who's going to demand that of everybody on the team, including the superstars. And that's the way I believe that LeBron James and Anthony Davis want to be coached. It's the way that everybody really wants to be coached. You want a coach who's hard on you, who will really praise you when you do the things right, but who's going to call you down when you don't, no matter who you are.
I don't think LeBron is like that. Maybe AD. Definitely not Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
The first task has to be Westbrook. They're going to hire a coach before Westbrook is out of a Laker uniform. They're going to have
that's
to
the first thing they're going to tell every new applicant is know that Westbrook is gone.
First
thing they'll tell them.
And maybe because I've never been an NBA head coach. I'm sorry, guys. This is a cutthroat business. I appreciate that you're sticking up for your colleague. Much respect. I think you have every right to do it. and you're validated too. It's very true. But the problem is you were right that he was soft, and that was something that I did not like. I think he is the company man. He is the company PC guy, and I don't like that. I don't like that all the time. I like it, you know, normal, but I also like, hey, I feel like the last interview you did, that felt like that was the first time I saw the real Frank Vogel, where he's like, them told me bleep, you know?
Well, and then you set the tone. You set the tone when you accept that when you took the job, you know? I mean,
look, I refuse to.
People treat you the way you allow them to treat you.
I refuse to see that all of a sudden Frank Vogel forgot how to coach this last year. Something happened with this team, and no one has really talked about it. And maybe I'm overthinking it. Ultimately, it changed when Russell Westbrook came to LA. So I'm assuming that's what it is. If we end up getting rid of Westbrook for whatever, I don't care if it's for a cell phone. Okay. Yeah. I don't care if it's for a cell phone or a lamp. I don't care if there's return value. Just gone off the team. And then all of a sudden we get a coach, and all of a sudden they start to play defense the first month, and we're 11-4. That's it, guys. That there is no more like wondering anymore at that point. It's going to come down to that. And ultimately,
any wondering now, really? Seriously.
I have never seen a team this talented play this bad. LeBron was a 30-point scorer. AD may have played half the year.
The coach lost the team completely.
The coach lost the team. Russell Westbrook sabotaged the team. Everyone else around them were.
And LeBron and AD got hurt.
Were jilted. And then half the year, AD didn't play. But when he did play, he did at least play. You know, he showed AD skills.
So which coaching candidate do you think can best solve that problem?
Unfortunately, there's not been any word on him. I want Jay Wright. I want Jay Wright.
The college coach is probably going to be a real stretch, man.
Yeah, that's the guy that I feel like has.
They're not thinking that far outside the box.
I don't know how good Darvin Ham is. I mean, we know that Terry Stotts has got some skill set. Steve Clifford has somewhat skill sets.
How about Mike Brown? Brown came to my mind.
Before you both
scream your heads off, the reason that
I'm
Mike Brown
I'm just saying moving
mind,
on.
The reason that Mike Brown came to my mind was because of how well coached Golden State Warriors are as a team.
But he's already on the list. He's already on the list of
considered him because I was afraid he might want to put in the you know, some crazy offense or something.
But he's already been on the list already. He's already on the list of coaches.
He was the list.
No, he wasn't on the serious list as far as
I know.
He's on the list of coaches that LeBron has got.
I'm going to say this, though, Tom.
He doesn't need to go back on that list.
I'm going
to
say this, Tom. In 2012, he didn't coach bad. Now, I know he had Snyder and Clifford on that staff. They did a really good job. I remember mentioning to a few of my friends, I was saying, man, he's got some good setup here. And I'm sorry to say this, but we lost that Oklahoma City series because of Kobe and Gasol. They screwed up in several games in that series that cost us that series. And I don't blame Mike Brown on that. The problem was it's the following year. And that's the issue with being a Laker coach, being a Laker and executive. There is no year-by-year situation. It's about what did you do for me literally 2 minutes ago? If you didn't do anything for me, we're going to cut you in half.
18 months ago, let's be fair. It's not 2 minutes.
I might have exaggerated there, but it's true. I mean, we've destroyed Laker legends like Kurt Rambis, Luke Walton, Byron Scott, Magic Johnson when he was coaching. We've destroyed every great Laker because of the what have you done for me right now so I can be satisfied?
But that's how the NBA works. You got to keep up to date.
It's worse with LA, though.
How the Lakers work.
If you start to fall
behind.
A lot
of franchises will be happy to win one championship every 50 years.
Yeah, but the league reinvents itself every 5 to 10 years.
I don't think it's like that in Boston. I think they look how long Ainge stayed. Ainge had one, and I'm not saying he completely stunk his whole career.
He stayed because he failed.
Well, he was there. You think Ainge would have lasted in LA as long as he did after all the botched?
No, but that's ownership. We'd have never hired a coach like they hired a college coach. We wouldn't do it.
The thing is, there's patience in most places. There's patience in most places, except the LA Laker organization. We have no patience, and
we have no process. Absolutely napalm. We have no process other than Genie thinking about it.
We napalm everyone when things don't work out. But this is a different situation.
But we bring him back. We bring him back, dust him off, and pop him back up there. Look at all the people we got. Everybody we got, we brought back. Who haven't we brought back?
I think we need to focus on
Kwame Brown. You know, I mean, the number of people that we haven't brought back may be bigger than the number of people.
I never really thought anyone. It's a family would be business.
It's like, you know, got Brown any cousins or nephews that need jobs? You got any relatives of any sort that have a connection? It's a crazy way to run a business, man.
That's a part of the reason why I think a lot of people within the NBA. They snicker and they laugh when it comes to the Lakers because
they laugh except they get their butts beat on the court.
Not this past year they did.
Well, not this past year.
Since the Lakers won that title in 2010, they've won one title, which was awesome. But what has their overall record been over that decade?
It's pretty dismal, but that's probably a reflection of how the game has changed.
That was a result of a.
Is it an organizational issue? Basketball issue? Is it?
That was. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get off this. I know he's gone now, but David Stern derailed the Laker franchise when he vetoed that trade. Had that trade not happened, Kobe Bryant would have probably retired with seven titles, for sure six. And it derailed his flagship team, and he derailed it. For what? Because that Quicken Loans a-hole in Cleveland was whining.
Not only that the trade they substituted was nowhere near as good.
And the other jerk in freaking Dallas was whining, Mr. Capitalism, and all of a sudden now he's like, can you stop this? We can't. They keep getting all the good players. Imagine, look what CP3 is doing right now in Phoenix. Imagine him 10 years early with Kobe. He loved Kobe, and Kobe loved him. Oh, what a – this. I'm sorry, I will never get off that. That
brings us to the good subject, which is basically winning time.
Well, not yet. Winning time, Gerald. We're going to do Russ and AD because the rumors are out there. I mean, the rumors are starting to fly on AD. They're starting to grow as many as Russ.
I wouldn't listen to any of those rumors.
You wouldn't listen to the Knicks?
You have to listen, guys. Because you have to listen.
If you do that, you're really talking about LeBron and AD.
Yeah, well, right,
you're
now,
not going to trade one of them without trading both of them.
I mean,
frankly.
Joe's seen their articles are becoming a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more.
About a tenth of the number of the articles.
They might be doing that though, G. They might be doing that for clicks. It might not be something coming out of Laker camp.
What do you want to talk about? Are we talking about the trades?
We're talking about the trade rumors. So again, AD is becoming a little bit more.
I'm going to say so far this week, keeping it to the updated information, not the rehash stuff. There is rumors that I've read. Let's say rumor. I'm not going to say rumors. We know rumors. But right now, the one that I saw a couple times is Hield and Miles Turner.
I've also seen Charlotte.
Charlotte is there, but...
If you do the
Charlotte trade, you're doing more of a trash for trash, but you're getting rid of bigger trash.
No, you're not.
Well,
here's the thing.
Haywood doesn't play.
Okay.
He's always injured.
Here's the thing about the Lakers trading Russell Westbrook. First thing is, there are six teams that are possible candidates for the trade. The Charlotte Hornets, the Indiana Pacers, the New York Knicks, the Oklahoma Thunder. They're teams that are identified very easily. They're the same teams right now that will be there when draft day comes. Because in order to be qualified to be able to trade for Russell Westbrook, for it to make any sense, you got to have a bunch of guys on that are pretty good players, maybe a little bit overpaid, but have big multi-year contracts that you want to get rid of because you've got to pay a bunch of other guys that are becoming stars, or you want to avoid the tax, or for whatever reason. It's a financial trade. So there's only six people, only six teams that fall in that category that can happen.
I don't know why Charlotte would make that trade. That's dumb.
They would make that trade very simply, I'll tell you, because they could get off of $108 million.
Yeah, but by having Westbrook be there to poison
Westbrook
the young
for 1 year
team.
Will cost them $47 million. In turn, they save $108 million on Rozier and on
Hayward.
Do those guys help us at
and
all?
That's the same reason why the Pacers would make the trade too, because they save Brogdon's 4 years on Brogdon and 3 years on
Turner,
not on Hield.
On Hield,
and then Turner.
All of these trades are based upon the fact that the other team gets cap space freedom and they save $50 million. So it's not like another team can come out of here and say all of a sudden I want Westbrook, because nobody wants Westbrook. Everybody wants to buy him out.
Another team you might want to keep is in the playoffs now, which is probably going to get smoked here in the next week or so, and that's Atlanta. They have a lot
Atlanta
of talent.
Atlanta is a possibility because they also have some players that they'd like to get rid of. Because
they've got to sign some players and think about extensions. And
Gallinari?
But it's not like there's going to be somebody all of a sudden says, I've got to have Russell Westbrook as my point guard.
No one's going to be saying that. We understand that
person is retired 3 years ago, you know.
I'm just throwing that out there on Atlanta because
that's the good news from the Lakers, because these are the deals that are out there. If a deal is made, it's going to be one of those six teams, and it's probably going to be the Pacers or the
first. I'm sorry. Even more important than getting a coach at this point, at least for me, is getting rid of that guy. Once you get rid of that guy, now you can start.
Well, not only that, you get rid of him, but you get two or three starters. Now they're starters because we only got two starters. Now the other, everybody knows everybody else belongs on the bench. So, and whoever we get in these trades, and fortunately, they're good guys. They're players who can play. They may, two of them, Brogdon, if we got him, or Hayward, obviously, they're injury situations. But the Lakers have already announced that they're not going to make a trade with Hayward as the primary candidate from the Hornets. They want the point guard. They want Terry Rozier. He's the guy that they're trading for. They'll take Hayward because he's filler, but that's, they're not going to pay a premium for that. And the same thing applies to Brogdon, but they almost have to make a trade that brings back a point guard because we don't have a point guard. Although most of the deals that we have, really, you're only going to give up Russ and THT. You're still going to keep none, so you have a backup point guard.
Are we keeping none, or are we going to trade him in a package? Since he's
I don't think we want to trade him in a package. Somebody could ask, somebody asked for him and said the deal, give us none, or we're not going to do the deal. Of course, we're going to give him none. But I try to keep him simply because he's another piece that you don't have to include to make a deal. The deals that are on the table are going to start with Hield and Brogdon. That's on the table. And then the other deal that's on the table is Oubre and Hayward. Now, you got to work both of those deals. But they're both deals that somebody might even trade for Russ without a draft pick because they want to get rid of those guys real badly. It's the situation where this is a double dump deal. Both teams normally would pay to get this deal done. We got to give a pick to get Russ out of here. They got to get a pick to get these Brogdon and Hield out of there. So you got two teams dealing with each other when both are usually expecting to give the other team money. Now the Lakers are desperate, so we're going to probably have to give picks, but we can end up working it the right way so that we get three players who are dramatic upgrades over what we had for those three players that started last year.
Any chance the Pacers send three guys our way?
That's the deal that you go. You first go up and you talk to them about Hield and Brogdon. And then you say, we'll give you Russ. They say, okay, we want Russ and a first round draft pick. And you say, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you THT, you add Turner, and we'll give you a second. We'll give you two picks.
Because you solidify all three of the other starting positions in a good way, right?
Getting the third player from the same team that you're getting the first two players is the logical move for the Lakers to make. And THT is that piece that you add to Russ in the pick.
THT Brogdon, and the pick. Point guard, Hield, number two, LeBron at the three, AD at the four, Miles Turner at the five. That would save play healthy.
That would be a defensive. That would be right? A great team. But so listen, how about this? This is also a great team.
That would also be a MASH unit, just so you know.
Yeah, that's the one concern you have. But you also have because we got two guys in the MASH unit, and you're bringing in a third guy. So, but the other way is here's a deal that's also almost as good, which is you make the deal with the Hornets. So you want Oubre, they want to get rid of Oubre. But you don't take Oubre. Instead, you take Terry Rozier, which is what the Lakers have told him.
Hey, Joe, for a coach, you might need to look into Hawkeye Pierce.
So anyway, you got Rozier and you got Gordon Hayward. And the third guy you want is P.J. Washington.
Great name, by the way.
P.J. Washington is a top 10 defender in the wing position. He's 6'7", and he shoots 43% from three.
That's who we need, baby.
And he's 23 years old.
That's what we need.
And he is the backup in case Hayward fails.
Yes.
If Hayward can't
But why would they give us him?
At small forward, you got your backup right there.
Why would you give up? Why would you give him up?
That's a deal that I almost like better.
They're not going to give him up. Those are rare guys, man.
Their problem, I've read three articles, and the problem is they have max contracts to give to LaMelo Ball and Miles Bridges. And
Gene, didn't you say they haven't paid the luxury tax ever? You
said never. Right? Them in New Orleans
paid a luxury tax, and they have those two, which means in almost every article it says that means that they could move P.J. Washington.
And Charlotte already shot themselves in the foot, you got to remember, because with Miles Bridges, they declined his option coming into this year. So he is a restricted free agent, so they can match any offer.
I've had one of those beards.
But he's going to get a monster offer. But
they could have saved themselves a buffer of a year had they picked up his option, and they blew it. So now they got to go ahead and sign him sooner.
And they're under pressure because 2 years in a row they have – flat on their face. And the big arguments is that they need to put better players.
Well, they're in NBA purgatory right now. They've hit what, 9th and 10th the past 2 years. So that's really NBA purgatory right there for you. So, you're not doing well.
We might not end up with a Russell Westbrook trade that makes sense. We might end. And if we don't end up with a trade with him, you have to realize that everybody we're talking to, who's going to get Russell Westbrook, including ourselves, is not going to let him play next year. They're going to buy him out, and he wants to be bought out. John Wall refuses to be bought out, and everybody knows that Russell Westbrook is willing to be bought out. So Russell would be bought out, and
then Houston would trade him to LA to get to do that, wouldn't he?
Let's say that he feels he can get $10 million. There's a team out there that his agent says will sign him for the MLE, $10 million, because he's feeling he gets to start over again. So take 10 off of his 47, he settles for $37 million, and we wave and stretch that for 3 years. We'll do that before we'll bring him back. And the last resort would be bring him back with an idea of dumping him at the trade deadline.
If you wait till the trade deadline, they'll be done.
Not having him play at all.
Yeah, they'll be done. There's no way.
You don't want him poisoning the next team.
His exit interview was absolutely horrendous.
It was horrible, man. He had no responsibility.
He took no accountability
at all.
Threw everybody under the bus. Threw Vogel under the bus.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it was like, hey, man, I did a triple dive. I did a triple double last year, man. So anything less than that was a disappointing year.
I mean, he has no recollection of the fans booing him. He has no recollection of the fact that he did so poorly during the first half.
It is addition by subtraction, just the way that the Lakers treated Vogel. I thought that Russell Westbrook was totally out of sync with what was reality of his career and where he was, right?
Yeah, exactly. Russell Westbrook still has a place in the NBA, but as a backup.
I have always loved him. I supported him when we made the trade, just because I love Russ and I love how hard he plays.
You can't depend on him to make shots. You cannot depend on anything.
What he had was the worst year of his career.
Yeah. For us. But again, it's everybody else's fault. But I understand it, that it diverts a lot of stress when it comes to Russell Westbrook. But yes, I don't want to wish him ill will. I hope he continues his career somewhere else and actually rebounds his career to where it can get.
Hey, I'm sitting in my ratty little house, and he's in his million-dollar mansion. So good for you, Russ.
Yes, good for you indeed.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I don't feel like that people have done that as much, especially with this international release.
You can get it out there right now.
I know you can get it out there, but it feels like this time last year, people have just been like, oh,
you
can
get
you go.
The
Here's
cell
a copy.
Phone version that was taped somewhere where it's like, you know, shell shaky, has some dude or some family that's walking right in front of you as they're finding their seat with the popcorn already in hand.
No,
you know,
come on.
That version is already available.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
with a mono sound. There you go.
Oh god. Yeah, that's the worst part. You only get sound on the left ear, not the right ear.
Family. Something like that. You can find that version already if you really want it. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. We still got more to talk about on today's program. I'm just muting you for a second, Laker Tom, because I got an echo, so hopefully I can get rid of that here in a sec. It is the Lakers Fast Break. At Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, just to let everybody know, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. At Laker Tom on Twitter, or LakerHolics.com, or Ox1947. JoeSorrow5 on Twitter, at also as well, LakersBall.com. But before we head on out, before we start talking a little bit about the NBA playoffs, before we head on out, we are going to talk about Winning Time. Episode 7, and my gosh, they are getting truly creative, aka just fabricating everything under the sun when it comes to this show. There's a great article that I posted on Lakers Fast Break that shows you all the things that they got incorrect or lied about on today's episode, and the episode that just dropped here, we got a chance to check it out. The first thing is that we get to the point where, yes, the accident for Jack McKinney has already happened. The Lakers are about to go on a road trip because they have not been playing well. And if they don't play well, that there is a chance that Paul Westhead might lose his job. First off, that is incorrect. When the accident happened, the Lakers won the 5 of their first 6 games, not what is being portrayed on screen. Okay, the Lakers did not lose their first 2 games of the road trip in Indiana and Detroit. That's fabricated right off the bat. And I've told these guys, I do not appreciate at all the way that they're portraying the way that Paul Westhead coaches, because he was a competent coach. He was an experienced coach before he stepped into the NBA. He had years at St. Joseph. So I really don't appreciate that. And the fact is, he went on to become a good coach, not a great coach. I'm not saying he's a great coach, but any man who goes ahead and coaches an NBA, WNBA championships for both those teams, and also as well goes to the Elite Eight after death of Hank Gathers. You got to be a decent coach to go ahead and be able to do that. But the way they're portraying him is just a horrible.
At least get the score right when they beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
99-98 when it was 100-98.
Yeah.
And Michael Cooper hitting the game winner. Come on.
Yeah. It didn't happen. No, that didn't happen. And they blew out Indiana and Detroit in the first 2 games on the road trip. So it's really, it's not getting the stuff right.
This was the fakest episode. Yeah. I understand embellishing, but these were outright.
I get satire, but then it starts to, you know, from the first episode to now, it's just getting more and more, and the creative liberties are getting larger.
My favorite part of the show was when Irvin Sr. was talking to Kareem at the dinner table. I thought that was.
Those two are killing it. Absolutely killing it.
I really enjoyed the conversation there where he's asking his you know, Irvin's Magic's dad, like, where is this? And it in that 2-minute interaction, you felt an entire culture.
You know, he understood where Kareem was coming from.
You actually got to that point where you're like, Kareem is trying to, and they kind of, you know,
why is he so happy considering the fact
why is he so happy? Because
America,
his
know?
Parents took him out of where he was right. And took him somewhere so he didn't have to experience. He experienced a little bit, but not as much. But right. At the same time, a lot of it is in him, you know, from the moment he was born. He was a happy baby. And I've watched enough documentaries on Magic, and
up this week.
Magic is the ultimate unifier in anything in life. Even the few things that he's done that's been questionable, it's still one of those guys. It's kind of like Jerry Buss. That's why they were so good together. You know, Jerry Buss's ex-wife still loved her ex-husband or respected him or gave care for him because Jerry was such a nice guy and Magic's such a nice guy. And it just... the fact that it's something that it is puzzling to those who live, I'm in that kind of same boat to a degree. I'm like, why are you so happy? Like,
is Apple going to be making a documentary of you two coming up?
I'm going to probably need a few things to happen in the next few years for me to, Well, I'm not really big on documentaries anyway. I barely take pictures.
Well, They Call Me Magic is coming up this weekend, so I will be checking that out and reviewing that on an upcoming show. Just wanted to make sure everybody knows. But Laker Tom, your thoughts. And I, again, behind the scenes, we've been arguing back and forth on the portrayal of Paul Westhead. Some others. Chick Hearn is not getting any.
I love the dramatic license that they've taken with the players and the characters in the
show. I'm waiting for Pat to sock it, Chick in the face.
Fascinating. I mean, for example.
Well, he's already moved into.
You understand. You really understand. I made this point to you before, too, that I think that wait until the end of the show when you've seen how everybody comes out and is portrayed at the end before you criticize them for having picked up on your favorite person and maybe they had a little fun with their traits. Because
this Jerry is more West, than a little example, fun.
I found cases. Was the, well, you see the way that guy stuck with the team even when he wasn't the coach and hung in there and did the right things and pushed and prodded Jerry Buss to do the right things, and the scenes of him in the car going crazy, you know, listening to the game on the radio, and the stories of him not even being able to
him and the driver giving each other the
during
finger.
The game, you know, just because it tore him apart because he was so passionate about it.
Him, I love the part
I love that. I love the way they did that. I love what they did with Jack McKinney. I love what they've done with Westhead coming back. And I thought the biggest part of the show that maybe was really exciting was the relationship as it's developed between Kareem and Magic. Those two young actors had me totally watching Kareem and Magic at that age, not even thinking that these guys were acting. I mean, Quincy's smile is as brilliant as LeBron, as Magic's. Yeah, it truly is.
I mean, he looks just like him.
And the guy who plays Kareem, what's his name again?
Solomon, I think Solomon Hughes.
He is just really nails it down. You look at this thing and you're seeing those two guys. And I know that it didn't happen the way that it exactly happened and that they've taken great license to it. But I thought it was a great show. And what I loved most about the show was the F Boston ending. That was just the greatest scene. I mean, the way that Westhead pulled the team together, the way that Westhead tried to get himself kicked out of the game and then was beaten to the punch by Riley, it was really stunning. And then for him to pull the F Boston in the huddle and rally him, and I'm sure, did that ever happen? I've never heard that story myself, but it was a great story, and they came out and they punched the hell out of the Celtics. And I know they called it the Invisible Man issue, but they probably should have named it the F Boston episode. So I loved it. It was my favorite of the show so far.
I did like the scene between West in the vehicle and the driver giving them each other the finger. And, you know, because the driver was a big Boston fan. And of course, the way that Boston tried to diss and throw those little shades at Los Angeles, even they threw it at Jerry Buss.
And believe me, I watched those games with Boston. I'm old enough to have watched every one of those games. And that is exactly the way the refs treated the Lakers in Boston year after year, playoff after playoff.
I know. I mean, I know.
That's what makes it sad that if James Worthy had just inbounded that ball in game 2 in 84, the Lakers would have gone 3-0 against the Celtics, and they would have gone up 2-0.
We won 5 out of 8 in the 80s. So F Boston.
They were just one pass away from sweeping the Boston Celtics all decade. And that series, they would have won the first two in Boston. That's how superior of a team they were.
Don Nelson bounced. There was a whole bunch of BS through the years.
Frank Selvey's missed open shot in 62, which is what set the tone. And that's what Jerry West said, that, you know, when you lose the first one, it's that's what kind of
West said about the portrayal of him. I haven't really heard that Jerry has remarked about that.
But Gary Vitti said, he said, that's not how Jerry is.
I know a lot of people have come to Jerry's
externally
defense. He wasn't the madman he was portrayed. And
externally, he's not like that. But that was probably what was happening inside him, which I get that. You can't.
He had extreme problems in watching the games.
Yes.
He still does.
Yes. Day, I remember there's just certain people that can't watch the games. I remember Vinny Testaverde's dad back in the day when he was playing, his dad couldn't watch his son play because he'd have a heart attack.
I used to go like that when I was real young. I used to be a crazy fan, you know, throwing stuff around and, you know, and jumping up and down and screaming out the window and so forth. I don't do that anymore.
I wonder what Larry Bird will think about his portrayal in the show.
Yeah.
I think he'd love it.
F Bird for sure.
Okay. If you want to go ahead and share your thoughts on this.
I never saw him chewing tobacco, though. Did he chew tobacco?
Yeah, he did chew tobacco.
He did? I know he drank Budweiser.
I'm pretty sure he did.
There's nobody had as big a brass balls as...
I'm jogging my memory back, but I think he did.
I never saw him chew. I know he drinks Budweiser because Charles Barkley told a story when he was in Barcelona. Him and Patrick Ewing were tight when they were there. And when he did drink one night with Larry Bird, he goes, "You never want to drink with Larry Bird. He drinks Budweiser." And he goes, "I drank it. I had a headache for 3 days." So... So I was like, yeah, you know, that one they got right. And of course they found a guy that looked just like him. I don't know who did the casting for this show. Seriously, we got to, they got to win something. They got to win something big, not just something small. They did.
I like that underhand Rick Barry free throw too.
did Rick Barry really play for Houston?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yep. Yep.
I don't remember that.
And then, yeah, just the underhand. More players should go to it since they shoot. If you shoot below a certain percentage, you got
to get Shaq. They were trying to convince Shaq to do it. He said, yeah, absolutely but
nobody
not.
Will because
nobody you know, will. They would rather look good than make points. But yeah, that's right. On that. That's but right. Before we head on out, want to go ahead and mention the playoffs are now underway that the Lakers should be a part of, but are not. And we do miss the Lakers.
I rooted for the Celtics today. That was really a tough thing to do, man.
Well, okay.
Talk about the least effort.
It's least favorite team. In
way
the
to go, Tatum.
Versus my least favorite player in Kyrie Irving. So that's very. Yeah, I know. That's a hard thing to do.
He didn't help himself.
He didn't play defense
today.
At the end, and he lost the game.
They lost the game. Tatum scored the winning basket. They're up 1-0. Although, again, if Boston plays like this continuously,
Marcus Smart would have shot that three last year.
If he could easily
good
be beat, if
him.
They continue,
he's really played well this year.
Well, Boston escaped with the victory.
I wanted to trade for him so bad.
we know, but Boston, if they continue to play like that, this can go seven. This can, you know, this could be something where
they could. Their defense is good enough that they have a chance to go all the way.
Their defense, when they want to, they really locked down Kevin Durant in the first half. Was really impressed with that, but then again, the second half they started to do an El Foldo act, and they were down in that fourth quarter.
Well,
and
I was happy to see the Nets lose.
Should have lost the game. You know, again, least favorite team, least favorite players. So I don't win in any situation.
Yeah, but there were at least two least favorite players on the other team.
Heat cruise to an easy victory, 115-91. They lead their series. 76ers on Saturday. They had a comfortable win. That was kind of surprising. Now, is there going to be
the best game of the year?
Well, is there going to be anybody healthy left for the Raptors? Because they've had two players, actually Young and Scotty Barnes, both got injured. So kind of concerned there for the Toronto Raptors and Sean Grice's choice about that. So,
yeah, my choice too. I had them six.
Bulls and the Bucks. That was closer than I thought it would be with the Bucks pulling it out at the very end. Very interesting to see how that went down.
Lakers fans hating Caruso playing well.
No one
by the
that.
Way, did
we
you realize that they thought they were going to pay $17.5 million?
You can't blame Caruso for this. You can't blame Caruso.
Wait a minute. Just let me finish. You just jumped to a conclusion before I even state what
I was
because
you said hated Caruso. Laker fans don't hate Caruso playing.
And he didn't have a good game tonight, by the way.
No, they hated the fact that Caruso had a good game because we lost.
He didn't have a good game, though.
But here's the point. They estimated and told Caruso that they would end up paying $17.5 million in taxes if they signed him, matched the deal. The truth of the matter is the Lakers finished 10th. Based upon the records right now and the salaries right now, they will pay a total luxury tax of $3 million. That means that they could have signed Caruso with a one-for-one penalty. $7 million for $9 million or something like that, not $17 million. So they overinflated that whole number that they gave him and so forth. Because all of the teams. Nobody ended up paying more than $60 million. Originally, they had estimates for people. They had estimates where the Warriors were going to pay $180 million and the Nets were going to pay $100 million. Well, transactions that happened after that and moves made by the general managers of those teams, everybody cut down so that the most anybody paid was $60 million for the Warriors. And the Lakers were 10th, not third or fourth like they thought they were going to be, but 10th in the league, and only had to pay a fine of $3 million.
As you can see, Joe, he just doesn't let this go when it comes to Alex Caruso.
Let it go.
Yes, let it go. Yes, it just hurts even more.
Caruso is
they're not the Dodgers and they're not the Rams. That's for dang sure.
Well, see, the thing is with the Rams, they have to deal with a hard cap. So I think they just let. Sometimes you win. You win, and instead of coming up craps, and the Rams were able to do that. The thing with baseball,
the Dodgers outspent my Yankees by $60 million a year.
George's son doesn't operate the Yankees like his dad used to.
No kidding.
And it didn't matter for a decade. I mean, they won a title in 2009, but they had been spending for a decade and they still weren't able to.
And they didn't spend this year, that's for sure.
If you look at the Dodgers setup this last year, they got a better player for less than half. So they're fiscally smart and they develop talent and they get guys at the deadline.
Right, they're also spending $60 million more than the Yankees, who are next.
Well, I mean, they didn't expect what happened to Trevor Bauer to happen. Otherwise he would have been a fixture and that wouldn't have been money they spent on him.
No, the point is that you find that the main motivation for the new owners of the Dodgers and the Rams has been to win and mm-hmm.
But you have to understand too. Okay, there's been teams that have done what they've done and they've failed. Sure. And the thing is, you're only as good as your title. That's it.
But there's also been teams like the Lakers who haven't spent money and yet they seem to brag and seem to take a feeling that we'll win it. We're the team committed to winning more than everybody else. And that's totally a false lie.
Did you see that kid throw 39, the Reds? Did you see that kid throw 39 pitches over 100 miles an hour against?
I was watching the game, yeah, but that was still lost. By the way, the Lakers have the fourth highest salary in the league. I don't know necessarily. That might be a fallacy in terms of their spending.
Well, wait and see for what they'll end up doing this summer. So we'll see how much they spend. But before we head on out, covering the West real quickly, you had the Suns pulling away from the Pelicans at very late, kind of let them back into the game.
Pelicans fly.
Joe's old thing, if it's within 20, it's still a game. So that's what they did today. They let the Pelicans back into the game, and they almost lost it because of it.
Pelicans can't shoot for beans, man. I mean, that's a bad shooting team.
Well, if they shot anywhere close to decent, they would have actually pulled that game out. But Mavericks and Jazz, the Jazz, they got lucky because no Luka. Looks like no Luka in game two, maybe no Luka in game three. So that's a good sign for Jazz. But they barely beat the
Mavericks. And they do. Everybody still expects that. And they read nothing but the fact that the coach is going to be gone.
We'll see what happens there, but yeah, they're going to get. They got a lucky break with Luka Doncic now.
Quinn is done there for sure. So the only thing the Lakers fans have to do is root for Pops to stay around another year.
The Warriors look good against the Nuggets. Game one, they looked really strong against the Nuggets.
Their new death lineup.
Yep, and they had Curry coming back. That was obviously a big lift for them. So it really played out very well. And the Timberwolves, that was a surprise, beating the Grizzlies handily in Memphis. Your thoughts on that,
Not a Joe? Surprise. Not a surprise. I have a strong feeling that I don't be surprised that this is an upset.
Well, there you go.
Because now Edwards is starting to come into his own. Now Edwards, the first overall pick is when you come out guns a-blazing in your first playoff game. Now your confidence is
he looked really good in the offensive.
He's only a 32% three-point shooter, and he was hot. He was red hot in that game.
Well, if he stays hot, you never know. You never know what can happen.
I still think the Grizzlies are going to prevail.
Well, we'll see what happens deep.
We'll know after game two.
Absolutely. There you have your NBA playoff update. We'll go ahead and update you throughout the playoffs, what's going on right here at the Lakers Fast Break. If you have any questions for us, Ox1947, you can find him at LakersBall.com or JoeSorrell5 on Twitter. He's got the little Dodger thing happening right there for you. Laker Tom is, of course, at Laker Tom. You know he's got some great articles on the way at LakerHolics.com. Shout out to Jamie Sweet also as well. Everybody out there, thank you so much for watching and listening. If you're watching this tonight, wanted to go ahead and mention to you, we wish you and yours a happy Easter, especially to Bree Marco, who gave us the heart, thumbs up as well, and a happy Easter. Also want to mention again, our great folks that watch us on YouTube. Please go ahead and check us out on YouTube and subscribe today. Love to have you go ahead and be part of that. We will go ahead and make sure we answer the comments. Joe and I do best we can covering the comments. Petting my cat. There you go. See, he got more than two sentences in today. You can't say he didn't. Let him talk a lot. So there you go indeed. But we'll be back later this week. Hopefully talk more Laker coaching rumors, maybe more trade rumors, more playoffs. I don't know if we'll have watched the Magic documentary, They Call Me Magic, yet. That's available on the 22nd. So that'll probably be for next Sunday's show. But definitely going to share some thoughts on that when I get a chance to see it. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. Thanks so much for watching, and we look forward to talking some more Lakers later this week right here at the Lakers Fast Break podcast.